98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. NFL Draft Extravaganza. Presented by Four Peaks.
Hour number two on this Thursday, day one of the 2019 NFL Draft. It's finally here. We're about 6 hours and change away from the Arizona Cardinals being on the clock and making that first selection if they hold on to that pick. We'll get into all of it next. Our next guest, we talked to him at the Combine, one of our favorites all time. If you've been an Arizona Cardinals fan for a long time, you love him too. Former coach of the Cardinals, Dave McGinnis, now the radio analyst for the Tennessee Titans, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coach Mack, how are you?
Boys, what's going on? It was great seeing you this morning. I was up early working Radio Row this morning while y'all were still sleeping. So
you're
I'm back
coach,
on it with y'all.
You were
Let's
doing
go.
Coach Mack stuff.
I was doing Coach Mack. Yeah, I was doing Coach Mack stuff that starts with an S, but you know really what it was.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, Coach Mack, first, let's get your thoughts so far. I mean, you've been to a lot of these drafts. You've been around the game for such a long time. What do you think of Nashville as a draft city?
Well, I think it's outstanding. Did you guys get a chance to go walk the footprint any and see it yet? I mean, other than where you are inside the experience over there?
We went as close to the stage as we could get last night. It was blocked off because they were doing a dress rehearsal, but we got as close as we could get last night. It looks phenomenal down there.
I mean, it's insane, isn't it? And really, when you look at it and see how it's built up, and when you go up Broadway, which is the main drag there with all the honky-tonks and the bars and everything, Tootsie's, which is a world-famous bar there, you know, they've built it out even into the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, the footprint of this thing is large, and it is so good. And look, guys, I'm telling you, no place throws a party like Nash Vegas. New Orleans usually throws a pretty good party. This place here is so much bigger, it's going to be live for 3 days here.
Coach Mack, I'm telling you, you're right about that, because Vinny and I, we've had fried bologna sandwiches, we've had fried pickles. I don't know how people live past 50 in this state, Mack.
Yeah, they don't, but they have a hell of a time while they're alive, I promise you.
All right, so what's it like on the inside? Take us back in time to your days in the NFL, and what is this like inside the walls of an NFL organization when you think you know who you want, but there's so many moving pieces?
Yeah, Mick, and look, right now you've got your board set. You've already, you know, the time leading up to now, I mean, I used to spend hours and hours, like a lot of coaches did, on the phone, just trying to find out what the landscape is around your draft, in front of you, to the side of you, behind you, because you have, and depending on what your position is in the draft, you have certain pods of guys targeted, because you can't just have one guy targeted if you're down further. Now, the Cardinals are a different story. They've got the first pick, so they've got the linchpin. They can target a specific player, you know, or they could trade out, whatever you want. But if you control the draft with that first pick, now you have to really be a bad team to get that first pick, but yeah, it's got its advantages when you can control a draft and have everybody in the draft available to you. So everybody else has got to kind of wait to see how it daisy chains as to who they can get. And what you do is you set your draft boards vertically and horizontally. Vertically, you arrange your guys in by position, how you rank them. Then you go across the board horizontally and start making pods of players that might be available that you start to put on the board in your bullpen, maybe about three or four picks before you go live on the clock. That's how it works.
Dave McGinnis, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and we'll get into what the Cardinals might do at the top of this draft to kind of set the wheels in motion. But one of the things that we've talked about so far a lot, Coach, is this relationship that Cliff Kingsbury, the new head coach of the Cardinals, that he has with Kyler Murray. It's been a 7-year recruitment, seemingly going back to his days at Allen High School in Texas. And people are wondering, and Bick and I have talked about it, because Cliff Kingsbury has been very deferential in his comments. Hey, I'm leaving things up to Steve Keim. I'm leaning on him to put together my staff. I'm leaning on his expertise in this whole draft process. And I know you don't have the specific kind of details of what the relationship is, but can you outline, you know, how much voice a head coach has in the draft process, generally speaking?
Well, I would think. I mean, that's an unusual situation there. I mean, you fire a head coach, after less than one season, all right? So once you do that, and then you make a decision that that's the direction your organization is going to go, that you've hired a head coach, you fire him after one season, so you're going to wipe that clean, and then you make a decision to go out and hire a college coach that runs a specific type of offense and bring him in for his first year in the National Football League. And look, coaches are coaches, but coaches coach what they know. Yeah. And what Cliff knows, he knows that air raid offense, and he knows it very well. And the best guy to run it – now, again, Josh Rosen, I like Josh Rosen coming out of the draft when I vetted him. I do a lot of draft analysis every year. I liked him coming out, but he doesn't have any experience in that particular offense. And if that's what you're going to run, the guy that is the best at that right now that's available is the guy sitting out there at OU, Murray. I mean, that's the guy. And so now what you do is this, and I know that Arizona needs better players a lot of places. Look, they can strengthen their defensive front, which they need. They can strengthen their offensive front, which they clearly need. Or they can get a guy that they know can run this offense. He'll know as much about this offense as Cliff Kingsbury does the minute he steps in there. That's an advantage. Now, do you do that hoping he'll generate enough buzz that you can start selling tickets to refill that place up there and get some excitement ginned up and generated? Or do you say, you know what, we drafted a quarterback last year, we moved up to number 10 to get him, so let's strengthen the people around him and start to build this football team around him, and hopefully they'll give Cliff Kingsbury more than one season.
Yeah, well, let's hope so as well. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, it's kind of, as you know, Mac, it's really unique because most, if not all, of his assistants were handed to him. Vinny talks about the word deferring, and this is the Steve Keim production. Is there any danger in a head coach that's never done this before, that doesn't have his own guys underneath him, when it comes, if things start going bad, if it starts hitting the fan, Do you see potential trouble here with this hire, and how do you avoid? What's the best organizational road to avoid that?
Well, first of all, it's bad for anybody if it starts going bad in the National Football League.
Yeah,
as quick as they're pulling the trigger now. I mean, I did it for 31 years, and lasted 31 years straight, through some really good times and some really down times. But people, had a little more patience. But once the salary cap came in, guys, and free agency came in, it's a different world now. It's an entirely different world. And it's not bad that he's got some experienced coaches on the staff in the NFL, because he's got no NFL experience. But the same thing, I mean, I liken it a little bit. It's different than Sean McVay when he took over there at the Rams. Sean had NFL experience. But what he did do is he hired an experienced defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, and just turned it over to him. And then he went to work on the offense, which is what needed to be fixed there. Clearly, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed there in Arizona, but you've got an offensive head coach that you've hired that is a really good offensive coach, especially in that air raid offense. And so now if he's already, I don't know the meetings that he's had with Josh Rosen. I don't know if he didn't go in there and once he vetted him and they started talking, he said, hey, I can run this offense with this guy. If that's what happened, well, then they'll probably take the best player in the draft, knowing they've got a second year quarterback there that they took in the first round last year. So I don't know that without being on the inside, but I just know that it sets up a little bit, when you look at it, that if you were going to give a head coach in the area of expertise that he's strong in, somebody to be a linchpin to start his program, that's the guy you would give him.
Speaking with Dave McGinnis, Tennessee Titans radio analyst, former Cardinals head coach here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You brought up Sean McVay, and there's been so much talk, that connection, Cliff Kingsbury with Sean McVay. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. And you had an up-close and personal look at Jared Goff's first season as a pro quarterback after being a number one pick in Los Angeles, and it didn't go so well. And you see Sean McVay come in and kind of unlock some things in Jared Goff, and it led to a playoff appearance and a Super Bowl appearance in the next 2 years. How much, Coach, do you think the Cardinals, if they're looking at comps, how much do you think that trajectory of Jared Goff might affect their draft decision tonight? If they see that same kind of potential in Josh Rosen working with a different offensive mind?
Well, here's the difference, guys. Here's the difference. Sean McVay came in there and had to retool an offense, but his defense was set. That defense and special teams that he inherited was playoff ready for 2 years.
Yes.
That team had been built by Jeff Fisher to be able to compete and win that division. I mean, you know, the Rams at that time owned Seattle, okay? And that was the team that you had to beat. Your defense was set. Your special teams were set. The issue there was the offensive line was not very good, and then the quarterback, a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line, it's not cool. It's not a good thing. And so, but he came in there. He spent a lot of money in free agency shoring that up. Brought Andrew Whitworth in there to be a left tackle. Brought Sullivan in from the Washington Redskins that knew how to make all the calls in his system. And then he brought the pieces in at receiver, you know, that he wanted. And then Sean was in charge of the offense. And he's a great offensive mind. And he did a tremendous job. But they had, you know, then they could concentrate on Jared Goff. Jared Goff, you know, Jeff Fisher really saved Jared Goff's life by not starting him for the first seven games, you know, of his career out there, because that offense just wasn't strong enough yet. And plus, Fisher drafted Gurley to give Goff some help when he was going to play him, to take, you know, some of the pressure off of him. That you were able to do that, but the offensive line wasn't good enough. And then finally, the defense having to play too many snaps for too many games, could hold on for a while. Once that defensive front started getting injured that last year, it was over, all right? So McVay did a great job of that offense, but the defense and the special teams were set when he got in there, hired Wade Phillips, you know, to come in there and take over for Greg Williams, which was just a really plug-and-play type of thing. So there's a lot of difference here, guys.
All right, Mac, let me ask you this. When did we get to the number one pick, and Kyler Murray said, I mean, he's dominated all these draft discussions. We all know that. Do you believe that there will be a team that's willing to trade up to get this guy, or do you think at the end of it all, his size is going to make people kind of go, I don't know, maybe too risky?
He's a scheme-specific quarterback. You know, it's just like Baker Mayfield. It's a scheme-specific type of quarterback. There are people that, I mean, yes, I mean, I talked to a lot. There are people that like him. I like his skill set. I like watching, but you have to know that you're gonna develop an offense around this guy, okay? Now, if he doesn't go, does somebody think, well, maybe he'll drop, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, then maybe I can trade up there to get him? You know what I'm saying? Because you start looking at who's sitting there behind him in San Francisco. They got a quarterback. Look at the Jets. They got a quarterback. You get the four to Grudes. Okay, you know, Grudes is always a wild card, you know, depending on what he's going to do. But a scheme-specific type of – if your offense is going to be that scheme-specific, yeah, they'll come get him.
Talking with Dave McGinnis, the former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, now with the Tennessee Titans radio broadcast team here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kind of along those lines, Coach, I've heard people kind of point out the 2011 draft as a cautionary tale for teams that might fall in love with quarterbacks, just generally speaking, this year. When you hold that against the quality of the defensive prospects in this draft, I mean, in the top 11 picks of that 2011 draft, there are three surefire defensive Hall of Famers right now in Von Miller, Patrick Peterson, and J.J. Watt. Yet the quarterbacks in that outside of Cam Newton have really struggled to kind of find their way. Do you see similarities between those two situations?
Yeah, I really do. This is a big man draft. Defensive front, offensive front, it's a big man draft, and it goes deep, and you'll see a run on those guys through about pick 53, 54. I mean, this is a big man's draft. There's some quality on the defensive and offensive front. But, guys, always, you guys have done this for a lot of years. I've done it for more than both of you. Here's the deal. There are always two drafts in a draft. There's a positional draft, then there's a quarterback draft. Mm-hmm. And if you need a quarterback, it doesn't matter how they slot into those other players. Are you with me when you talk about a horizontal board? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have a quarterback that you can depend on in the National Football League, guys, what you've got is a highly paid rugby team.
Yeah.
So you don't – I mean
Coach Mack, that's genius. Keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm a loud mouth.
No, you're not. You're the best, Bick. But anyway, that's what you got. And so you got to have a quarterback. So if you need one, go get one.
You got to go get one. Great stuff, Coach Mack. We appreciate it, man.
Coach, thanks for making time for us. We really do appreciate it.
Guys, I'll always make time for you. It's great seeing you guys over there. Hope to see you again.
All right,
love
sounds
you, brother.
Good.
See you, man.
Dave McGinnis, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.